Good to be here. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
I look outside. I see beautiful sunshine. I see the sound of a baby. God's love is indeed raining down on us, all around us. So I ask you, what are you doing here? Beautiful out there too. God's beautiful sunshine, the warmth, the light. Gorgeous creation. I want to ask you that question again, but more seriously. Why are you here? What is it that brought you here today? Like I said, you can be outside, it's Memorial Day, you can be enjoying a number of wonderful things in God's creation, in a retreat. For various reasons, you are here. But I invite you to consider what drew you here. Was it the beautiful music that we hear? The uplifting word? The inspiring scripture? The choral voices that have been sharing so eloquently for us? Charles's beautiful playing of music? Is it the sacredness of being in this special holy place? Is it community? What has uniquely drawn you? And what I'm asking you to consider is that the outer form by which we see what we're drawn to is but in a reflection of what is within us that resonates, that is drawn to experience that form. And in our quote from Swedenborg that we have in the insert, it says, "Angels cannot see love with their eyes, but instead of love, they see what answers to it." And just like we're all here enjoying what it is that we love about this space or this place or this time, we are here to enjoy what it is that in us loves it. And so I'm asking you that question, why are you here? What has drawn you here? To invite you to turn your awareness from the here to the here. To inquire about that quality in love within each of us that resonates, that experiences something that stirs us, that draws us, that brings us to share in this space. Getting in touch with a quality within us that gets us in touch with our soul. Jesus says in the gospel reading that he's going to leave us and give us the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And he says, why? Because they cannot see it or know it. So what is it about the Spirit of truth that cannot be seen and known? It's like love, from Swedenborg's quote. We can't see love or know it from an intellectual understanding concept, but we can feel it. And when we turn our attention inward, we connect with that quality of love that is the way God uniquely speaks to us. We might have similar qualities of love, but there's something in us that's special in our relationship with God. Because why? It's the way God has formed us and invited us and drawn us to this space, to this place, but more importantly, to give and feed and be attentive to the love that's in our soul. So as we turn our attention to that quality in us that enjoys the outer, we take those eyes that see, that awareness, this consciousness, spark that God has given us of of perception. And we address it, return it onto our soul as a way of getting in touch with that love, that inner quality. Swedenborg says in that, a little bit, next line or two, that angels have, like us, an outer form and then an inner form. An outer self and an inner self. And granted, they don't have a physical body, so it's one layer less they have. But the outer form is what sees and acts and what does and experiences in this world, our senses. And there's an inner, which has this intention, this place of heart, this wisdom. And not in that quote, but even another quote, Swedenborg says, there's another part. The soul goes into a deeper relationship with God as we move more intimately and deeply into our own being. And so this invitation that Jesus says for those who have eyes to see is an invitation to begin to see with the eyes of our soul. As we look at what stirs us, what excites us about God's beautiful creation, the way we resonate with this life. God is constantly raining down on love. It's here. We begin to get in touch with a lot of things. That love, but we also get in touch with other things that we may not prefer to see. Some of our own darkness. And I say it's dark because it's uncomfortable. I just came from a retreat where I was facilitating a group of people for a week in Connecticut. And for some of the people who were spending that time listening inward, they got in touch with some shadow aspects of themselves. Parts of themselves they'd rather not have to face. Perhaps, well, I don't want to go into all of theirs, but we often get in touch with parts of ourselves that, for example, a sadness that we would rather not feel. It's too painful. It hurts too much. Or an anger that seems bigger than we're able to contain or handle. Or perhaps it's a certain form of masculinity that we shy away from experiences in life that were too abusive, too offensive, either in one's heart or in one's body. When we turn the light of our awareness into those darker places of our life and our being, we're bringing those to an awareness in how they can be integrated into our life in a more expansive way than we are afraid to envision because of the models we've seen in the outward. But when we turn our attention inward, we see that they are seeking the light of our life to be brought out. It takes a lot of energy to kind of hold down these things. I once had a dream 6 years ago of holding on to this World War II bomb. There's an underground depth charge, you know, those kinds of those boats come through and it destroys them. And I'm holding onto them with white knuckles. But I don't feel the stress of holding onto them. I'm just, no, look at this, here I am. The dream was trying to reveal to me that there is some exploded, but I could say there is some intensity that I'm holding onto that I'm out of touch with. And so I spent some time trying to get in touch with that anger, get in touch with, underneath that, some very painful sadness. What is it for each of us that might come up as we begin to listen to our soul? It's scary. St. Paul, when he talks to the Athenians, tells them that, he says, God has put, God has set the limits of our existence and the boundaries of where we might go in this creation. And I want to draw our attention to that concept of God putting limits and boundaries. says that we might search for God, perhaps grope for God, and find God. And the experiences of our life, the challenges, the limitations, the restrictions, the constrictions, either in our family dynamics, our own upbringing, our bodies, maybe it's a disease, maybe our energy, maybe as we get older, we just don't have the capacities we had anymore. These boundaries, these limitations, are God's gifts to us that we might search for God and perhaps grope. And the word grope means to feel one's way, as in the dark. And that's what it's like when we go into our soul. It's dark in there. It's mysterious, unknown. But when we turn the light of our awareness onto our soul, we shine the light that can uncover parts of us that have been seeking the light of our life, like I was sharing earlier. But we also shine a light on the love that God communicates with us in the way that touches our soul. Which I mentioned, the outer form of which becomes in this way, of creative, celebrating service, but also the core of which leads us back to God. And when we shine the light on that love, it expands, it grows. We get in touch with a more meaningful relationship with our interior, the inner being of our person. And Swedenborg says, at the end of that little quote, angels are led from within as they move about with the outer being, instead of seeing themselves as just the outer with an inner. I was listening to a program on TV called Global Spirit, and I get on Link TV, it's from the satellite connection. And they had a program called The Journey Towards Oneness. Ooh, that's a good topic. So there was two people on the show. There was Dr. Ravi Ravindra, who was a physicist, and this Sufi teacher, this mystic, who was named Llewellyn von Lee. And a very simple quote that was shared by Llewellyn von Lee was that we're not human beings trying to have a mystical experience. We're mystical beings having a human experience. And I think that was a derivative from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, that French Jesuit priest from earlier in the 1900s, who said, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So, when we shine the light of our attention, our consciousness, on our soul, we get in touch with that inner being, that spiritual being, that place where God can meet us intimately with the love that is something that wants to be brought out more fully, experienced more deeply, felt more abundantly in our life and in our soul. We stop identifying so much with the outer, but only in the way that the outer is an end of itself. The outer is beautiful, God's reflection in creation, to draw us inward, to draw us to an ever-present awareness of God's abundant life, constantly raining on us. It just reminds us everywhere we look. The invitation is to come to know a deeper part of ourselves, and as this love grows and expands inside of us, we begin to see with new eyes, loving eyes, eyes that, as Jesus was saying, the disciples will see of Jesus in God, of Jesus in them, and them in Jesus. And that's the invitation that extends even further with the love that we experience and expand into. To experience ourselves in God, at this meeting place of our soul, and God in us, God of each of us, and how all of us are united in God, coming to know a oneness born out of God, at that meeting place at the level of our soul. So, I would invite you, whatever it is that you find your way in listening inward, to make that part of your spiritual practice. Whatever you do, meditation, it could be like that Sufi teacher, Llewellyn Vanley, talking about, the Sufis meditate on the heart, that loving quality of the heart. Maybe it's a more Buddhist-like practice where you are just bringing the presence of your consciousness, being mindful of whatever comes through you. But maybe it's something that's uniquely you. I have one client who's for spiritual direction and who doesn't, you know, she likes the Buddhist ideas but just doesn't find them, you know, working for her. So she lays down. And she brings the mindfulness to her breathing, shining the light of her consciousness on the interior and allows for whatever wants to come up into that light to find the light of her mind to work with, explore, and find what how it wants to come out as part of her life. I have another client, a man who, for him, he gets in touch with his soul, and it's an experience of longing, a longing for God. That which draws him to church is this longing. And longing is just the flip side of love. When God's present, when God's here, we feel that fullness of God. It's, you know, when you lose yourself in some of the beauty of God, or and you know, sexual intimacy, it's just this loving experience. And then, when God isn't present, when you long for that intimacy of love inside your soul, that's that other side of love. It's that longing quality. It's, to pick a word, it's a more feminine aspect of love. Whatever it is that uniquely stirs you, I would invite you, even though we're not on a retreat at Camp Meeker, make this a little part of today's retreat in whatever form you choose to do it. But in a way that invites something to come to awareness. To feed it. And of course, if nothing happens in the first day, yeah, we start complaining, we start crying about it, we tell God, but we persist. Why? Because Jesus, St. Paul, and all of the other things in this gospel and in scriptures are telling us that's where we'll find it. That's where we'll come to meet the Spirit of Truth. Not the literal truth that we find in the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep the Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't come to fulfill the Ten Commandments of not stealing. Jesus came to fulfill the spirit of the Ten Commandments to their nth degree, to that holy of holy, to God's complete abiding presence in them as a lived expression in life. So that when Jesus was saying, you know, the Father and I are one, it's because God is fully, Jesus is completely blasted open so that there's just God. God living out an expression of what it means to live the Ten Commandments. This is getting in touch with the spirit of our own nature, the soul of our own being. That gets us in touch with more of who we are, where God wants to meet us, and from which God can then bring to earth an experience that all of us are hungry for, this interconnectivity, this oneness, this shared love.